Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I ask that you find my client not guilty. Yes, my client had motive. It's established that his fingerprints were all over the crime scene. And there's no doubt that he pulled the trigger. But that doesn't mean he should be convicted. Why not? Because my client is absolutely, positively, 100% certifiably insane. He is totally nuts. I rest my case. The basic theory behind that defense is this. One who is insane lacks the malice of forethought or the intent required to perform a truly criminal act because the person is either incapable of discerning the difference between right and wrong or incapable of restraint, even in the face of such knowledge. Although the insanity defense gets a lot of publicity, it is relatively rare as a legal strategy. Yet it remains a popular and polarizing piece of legal lore. So in the gospel passage, those closest to Jesus and those most threatened by him begin asking the same question: is this guy crazy? So what's their evidence? Well, Jesus gained fame as an exorcist and a healer. He lays hands on lepers, eats with sinners, proclaims forgiveness, disregards pious fasting practices, and provokes the wrath of religious authorities by openly violating the Sabbath restrictions. And he does all this while preaching repentance and announcing the kingdom of God is at hand. Well, after a failed intervention, what else must his brothers, his sisters, and mother, who for 30 years have known a normal Jesus, assume? What other conclusion could the scholarly religious authorities come to? Sane and non-possessed people don't turn their lives into a spiritual freak show. They don't make claims to deity and publicly discuss demons. That's not normal. It's not, wasn't then, and isn't now. Well, we have the benefit of faith and the perspective to understand that Jesus is not crazy. While we believe he is God in the flesh, we must admit that their speculation isn't entirely off the rails. Sometimes crazy and genius look a lot alike, don't they? Beethoven and Sir Isaac Newton were once thought to be nuts. Such is the case with Jesus. It's not that he's mad. No, Jesus' world, his kingdom, and he is its leader, are so otherworldly that it surprises us and shakes our foundations. Humanity had never seen such power on public display. It had never heard such values being taught. It had never witnessed such dynamic, charismatic, and divine authority wrapped in so much weakness. He was a homeless, self-made rabbi from Nazareth. And as Isaiah prophesied, no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. We would have called him mad too. Jesus does not seem overly bothered by the accusations of insanity. A truth worth remembering is that when the kingdom of God and the work of the Spirit are on the move, a sane world will always be disrupted and disturbed. If craziness is persistently violating social norms with little regard for oneself, then the work of Jesus fits the description. So let's just look at our world. The world idolizes logic and reason. Yet God's people live by faith, and we love mystery. The world abuses the weak and attempts to fix the poor. God's people embrace the lowly as the greatest among us. The world rewards the strongest and the most capable. We openly confess our struggles and repent of our sins. The world says, you are entitled to hate those that hurt you. Yet we love our enemies and pray for our persecutors. The world is full of people scrambling to stock up as much as earthly treasure as they can before they die. We give it away in favor of treasure in heaven. The world's motto is to love yourself and try not to hurt your neighbor. Our motto is love your neighbor and be willing to sacrifice yourself. So if Christians are called crazy from time to time, well, as Jesus might have put it, welcome to my world. So here's the deal. If God is real, then by definition, God is above and beyond any and all cultures, perspectives, and political views. No one tribe completely gets God. Therefore, in some way, as God breaks into our world through his Son, the Word, and Spirit-filled people, God will in some way offend and jar the sensibilities of everyone at some time or another. If the God we worship is not disrupting and uncomfortably confronting some part of our lives, then the God we worship is likely one of our own creation, not the creator of the universe. And that was the sin of Adam and Eve in Genesis. They wanted to be like God. So what would our lives look like if we truly embraced the craziness of the gospel message? This strange rabbi from Nazareth appears with the crazy idea that love will triumph over hatred, light will shatter darkness, and life will conquer death. So what do you think is the craziest thing Jesus says in the gospel? And what impact does that teaching have on your life? This crazy Jesus seeks to heal us of what is, in fact, our own insanity. The insanity of allowing pettiness, pride, prejudice, anger, and self-centeredness to alienate us from one another. The lunacy of constantly grabbing as much as we can, as fast as we can, while many people on this planet have nothing. Jesus invites us to become alive in his insane, lunatic sense of community, joy, and reconciliation. Now, you may take offense at the whole notion of being crazy for Jesus. If by some chance we do come under fire for radically and faithfully following Jesus and were on trial for being Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict us by reason of insanity?